According to internet rumor, which we know is always true, something big is expected to happen this Tuesday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Does anybody know what it is? No cheating, those of you that have sermon copies in front of you. Apple plans to release details of its newest products. You didn't hear this announcement? Including the specs of the latest and greatest iPhone. Techies are excited about the possibilities this new phone might offer, including a new curved edge-to-edge display, wireless charging capabilities, and perhaps even facial recognition. All of this for just around $1,000. Anyone hope to get one as soon as it's released? Okay, I think the answer would be different on a Wednesday night. What do you think, Shelley? So why are Apple products so popular? Why do so many wait with eager anticipation for the unveiling of the latest iPhone? Author Simon Sinek has a theory. He has researched and studied inspiring leaders and organizations, and he's identified a pattern. According to Sinek, all of the great and inspiring leaders and organizations think, act, and communicate the exact same way. Every person and every organization knows what they do. Many know how they do it. But according to Sinek, very few know why they do what they do. His theory is that it is those organizations and leaders that know and communicate why they do what they do that find the success like Apple has. Now consider these two marketing strategies that Sinek suggests. If Apple were like most everyone else, a marketing message might sound like this. We make great computers. They are beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. Want to buy one? But here's how Apple actually communicates. In everything we do, we believe in challenging the status quo. We believe in thinking differently. The way we challenge the status quo is by making our products beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. We just happen to make great computers. Want to buy one? People are inspired when they know why you do what you do. Why gets to the heart of the matter. Employees buy in, customers buy in, and in Apple's case, people across the globe wait with eager anticipation to know what is going to come next. And if Sinek is right, people that function with purpose, people that know why they do what they do, inspire others and live and act in line with their mission. Why we do what we do matters. Today is God's Work Our Hands Sunday across the country at ELCA congregations. This morning, we are going to be learning from our South Sudanese members. We're going to be assembling school kits, tasting some African foods, and having our voices heard at an advocacy station. We hope to build bridges of understanding and peace. All of this sounds great to me. It is good work. It is work that the world needs. But what makes our work together any different than good deeds done by anyone? Why are we so focused on serving our neighbors? The author of Ephesians paints a picture of two very different worlds. There is the world before Jesus. In this world, the people are separated from one another based on laws. There are Jews and there are Gentiles. There are insiders and there are outsiders. There are strangers to God and God's promises. It is a world, we're told, with no hope. But there's another world, a new world. Listen as the author describes this world. But now, thanks to Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. He broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. Here is our why. This is why we do what we do. Because we are people living our lives in response to this hope-filled, grace-filled life of promise that we've been given by Jesus. Through Jesus, all are welcomed in to God's continuing story of redemption. Reverend Kyle Fever says it this way: the point is that God's reconciliation and transformation of humanity finds expression in a unity marked by welcoming and hospitality. The people of God, transformed by this new world that know Jesus, are to be a light that paves the way and unites all into God's mission. About 5 months ago, we received a letter from a gentleman named Mading Kurashong. Mading is a part of the Zumbro Dinka community that worships here on Sunday afternoons. Originally from South Sudan, Mading came to the United States as a young adult refugee in 1995. He became a U.S. citizen and worked here for many years. As is customary, Mading returned to South Sudan in 2008 to marry his wife, Nakur. About a year later, their first daughter was born. Shortly thereafter, Mading returned to the U.S. so that he could work and provide for his family. In 2014, while visiting his family back in South Sudan, Mading's life changed when he suffered a horrible stroke. He returned to the U.S. to access quality medical care here in Rochester. While his health has improved over the past few years, Mading's physical limitations have prevented him from finding work. The stroke has left Mading weak on one side. He walks with a cane, and his speech has been significantly affected. Today, his only income is what he receives in Social Security disability insurance. Mading desperately wants to unite his family together here in the U.S. Today, in South Sudan, the future for young boys is to wield guns and join in the civil violence happening throughout the country. In South Sudan, young boys know how to load a gun before they will ever learn their ABCs. The future for girls, like Mading's two daughters, is to be married off at age 13 without any education, because only 5% of children in South Sudan have an access to elementary education. Mading knows that the future for his 8 and 3-year-old daughters depends on getting them to the United States. Thankfully, because his daughters were born after he became a U.S. citizen, they also are U.S. citizens. Mading's wife, however, is not. For over a year, Mading has been working on her application for an immigration visa. The application has finally been approved, but now she waits for an interview at the U.S. Embassy in Sudan. In the letter Mading sent us back in April, he asked if Zumbro might consider assisting his family. The airfare alone to get them here together will be nearly $6,000. But there will be other needs too. His family is going to need help accessing community resources to make the transition to America easier. I suspect the girls will need tutoring as they enter our schools. The barriers to helping Mading's family are great. The government in South Sudan is difficult to navigate. Our U.S. government is growing less and less welcoming of immigrants. There are language and cultural barriers. There is a disability involved. We don't know what the outcome might be, but overwhelmingly, Zumbro's council and staff have responded with a resounding yes to helping Mading's family. Why? Because it will make an incredible difference in the life of this family, and in particular, the future of these young girls. Because it will make a difference in the life of our own Zumbro Dinka community. Because partnering with Mading's family will help us better understand some of the complexities of immigration in our country. Because it is a faithful response to God's instruction to care for foreigners among us. Why? Because we are a people that live in a world that knows Jesus, a world where barriers are broken down and we are united into God's one mission. Friends, how do you live your life in this world? How has your life been transformed by the life-giving, forgiving, grace-filled love of God? That's really what's at the heart of the matter. That's our why. And we trust that through our helping hands, God is the one at work, healing a divided world, breaking down barriers, and making us one. Amen.